One. Welcome back, everybody. It is almost March 3rd. It's still technically March 2nd here in the East. It is almost midnight Eastern, though. And it is time for day three, or as Sleeka says, day C, or as somebody else might say, day WXYZ of Championship Week Video Notebook. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Joined on my sides up here by David Griggs and David Dorman, John Sleeka below me, as well as for the first time in quite a while, Brian Black back with us again. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I love being on the show, guys.
We love having you. You should come on more often.
Absolutely.
For sure. I'd love to be on more often.
Yeah. And we've been talking about you because you've been tweeting things out. You've been tweeting out all your jerseys as teams get eliminated. You've been
as,
the survival
that's
board.
That's right. As the survival board continues, one of the things I wish I had was like a torch where I could like put it out like Survivor style. And I would have my stepdaughter help me do it because she's awesome. And I have her here with me.
Oh,
and
wow.
She's wearing her elementary school's jersey. I had that custom made for her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
They're not eliminated yet.
Yeah, don't let her go on a treat with that or her season's over.
Keep that on the wraps. Exactly.
Okay. We do have a lot to get to. Outside of conference tournaments, in fact, just a few, some actually a lot of news and notes. A couple of games that went final late last night. First of all, Wisconsin clinched Big Ten championship with a win over Purdue on Chucky Hepburn's last second shot there, and Arizona with a real nice win at USC.
Blasting them, really.
And then just some craziness happened tonight. I'm just going to run through some of these crazy results real quick. Florida State knocks off Notre Dame. Oklahoma Ouch. State beats Iowa State, holds up to like 22 points or 37, I think it was. Alabama loses at home to Texas A&M.
Uncle Buzz.
St. John's beats Xavier, which is probably not even an upset. Seton Hall beats Georgetown, but beats them by like 3 points at a pathetically bad Georgetown team. Auburn needs overtime to beat Mississippi State on the road. And DePaul beats Marquette to finish things off.
My God, I can't believe that.
And Brian, between what we saw on Saturday and all these crazy upsets today, this season is just flipped. It's flipping over its head or something, isn't it?
And we're just barely into March. So what, for this is what it's like now. What's it going to be like, week, 2 weeks from now? It's just going to be insane.
Absolutely. A couple games that were not as much upsets, but were big finals here. Creighton knocked off UConn. Big actually because it's the first game after the injury. Arkansas, real nice win on over LSU after LSU committed a really bad foul in the last seconds there. And my Rutgers Scarlet Knights, who, Brian, you are representing right now with our jersey, goes to Indiana and wins and gets themselves right back into the tournament picture, I think.
No, Brian's wearing the Rutgers jersey.
Yep.
If he tweets it, that means they're done.
Yeah, I better not tweet it.
No tweeting that jersey. Dorman, your thoughts on any of this craziness stuff that happened today? Let me bring you into this also.
There were some great games around the country. Let's go to the Creighton game. I thought the injury was going to be absolutely devastating. They had to show the committee they could play without him, without their rock star point guard. And they did. They beat a hot UConn team led by Danny Hurley. And they really led the whole way, got tight in the end, but Creighton pulled it off, showing the committee they can win. And I think their seed is safe for now because there's not much left to play. They got one game over the weekend and then right to New York for the Big East tournament. I think they're safely in as we speak tonight.
Sleeka, any other thoughts from you?
Yeah, I was going to point out with the weird results going on in the Big East, I think Xavier's pretty much clinched the number 8 seed now because at the moment they're 7-11, but Butler and DePaul now are actually tied for 9th at 6-12, which is, 6-13, because I guess they're still got one more game apiece. So conceivably, Xavier could either play Butler, who they've beaten twice, or get a DePaul matchup, which has not been good to them this year and might be the final nail in the coffin, even if they survive the snake walk over Georgetown.
What's the word on Nate Johnson, Sleeka? Did he actually get in the game today? I heard that he might be playing today.
He actually did play tonight. He was, I think, he had 11 points, 3 for 9 from behind the arc. But wow. The problem was, even though they were only down 5 at halftime, they just collapsed in the second half again.
I'll tell you what, if you know, if he can get back into form, if they have to beat Georgetown, then you win that 8-9 game, and they could be a scary, scary quarterfinal matchup for Providence. You mentioned that the other day. So, but anyhow, let's get to the conference tournament stuff, which is what we're really here for. And let's start Woo-hoo. In the Northeast Conference. It was quarterfinal day, and Griggs, we were all excited about this, and then we actually ended up with kind of 4 stinkers, I thought.
Yeah, kind of clunkers. Long Island and Sacred Heart was close for much of the game. That was actually the one that I ended up paying the most close attention to. I'll say this for Wagner, after losing to Fairleigh Dickinson and Bryant back-to-back and being concerned about the injury, they not that St. Francis PA is all that good, but they actually blew past STFU. I'm kind of looking forward to the games on Saturday, both of them. I think while the days were kind of clunkers, Saturday is going to be great.
Yeah, and Brian, Bryant actually got a bit of a game effort from Central Connecticut. I was surprised how long that game was close before they finally pulled away also here. But now they get Mount St. Mary's in Saturday's matchup.
Brian, you there?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Okay, yep.
I'm confused because were you saying Brian or Bryant?
Oh, Bryant. Well, of course, Bryant. I'm asking you about Bryant. No, but I just want your thoughts on what you think about these semifinals coming up Saturday now.
So as far as the NEC goes, I love the NEC because yes. They've never won a game in the round of 64. And so every single year I always say, which one of these teams is going to be the one? And I'm not sure. I don't know. If there's going to be one of these teams to come back, I think maybe Wagner. Wagner did look really good. I don't know. There's a lot of possibilities, but I don't see anybody coming out here of this league that's going to be winning a game in the round of 64. But I do like the look of Wagner right now. They look really good today.
They thought they looked great today. But that was it for the Northeast. We'll be talking about them again Friday night when we preview Saturday's games. But let's jump over to the Ohio Valley next, where Stalica, 2 more clunkers. I guess Edwardsville tried to make a game in the second half, but Tennessee State put their foot down, and then Tennessee Tech just rolled Austin Peay this evening.
To be fair, I don't think we were expecting much out of these two games right here, especially when you consider what's going to be lying ahead right here. Now, granted, Tennessee Tech, that's probably going to be their best win they've had all year, but Moorhead hasn't really had any serious trouble with them, and Tennessee State's actually running into probably the hottest team right now, so at least they got a couple wins today.
Yeah. So the question is, Dorman, do you see either Moorhead or SEMO potentially losing tomorrow, or are we going to have another pair of clunkers until we get to the semifinals on Friday?
It's March, but I'm leaning towards clunkers. I think it gets serious Friday night, SEMO and Moorhead State. I see moving on. It could be close because these games, once the conference tournaments start, everything could be close. But I do see SEMO and Moorhead State moving on Friday night. It will get crazy in Evansville, Indiana.
Well, if the Northeast and the Ohio Valley were just full of lousy games today, the Big South more than made up for that with what happened in all 4 quarterfinals. In fact, if you take the combined scores of these 4 first round games of the Big South today at the end of regulation, there's a 1-point aggregate difference. Three of them went to at least 1 overtime. 1 of them was a 1-point game. Why don't we start at the top, go right down the list here, though. North Carolina A&T over Radford started the day off. Where A&T got out to a big lead early. Radford came back and rallied. A&T missed some free throws late that ended up sending the game to overtime, but pulled it out in overtime. Griggs, your thoughts, first of all, on this A&T-Radford game?
Well, I thought, like you had said, I thought A&T had totally blown it and that Radford had all the momentum. Even going in the overtime, I thought Radford was going to win, but A&T kind of surprised me, and that sets up Then with Longwood tomorrow. Longwood, one of the better
Friday. Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. Longwood, one of the better under the radar stories of the year so far. But this next game we're going to get to?
And one thing you note, Longwood. Guess who they lost to in conference this season?
Yeah, I know.
North Carolina A&T. So, yeah. Hey, don't just assume this is a win here. Brian, the second game, Asheville and Charleston Southern, did not go overtime, but had a heck of an ending anyhow.
Yeah, that was crazy. Basically, a buzzer beater. I mean, it was just absolutely insane that a 12-5, I don't think anybody saw it coming. So, I certainly didn't. And so now, South Carolina Upstate goes up against Charleston Southern on Friday. So, we'll see what happens. Maybe Charleston Southern puts together some sort of improbable run.
Yeah, it was.
That would be improbable.
It was Tajay Kelly for Charleston Southern with a putback at the buzzer to win the game. I thought the key was actually when Drew Pember, who's UNC Asheville's star, fouled out questionably because he got a bad foul call. Argued it, got a technical, went from three fouls to out of the game in 2 seconds. And Dorman, you're nodding your head. It was really just that was a turning point, though. That Charleston Southern took over after that, I thought.
Absolutely. That was the key moment of the game. He didn't like the call. I didn't like the call. Cost them free throws, the ball. And that's when that's when everything started to fall apart for Asheville. Charleston Southern gained momentum from here and from at that point, and I agree with you, Chad. That was the key time in this game.
About Charleston Southern hitting the game winner, but keep in mind there was a missed three-pointer that just completely caused a bunch of chaos. So they get the offensive rebound and then the putback.
I'm going to step away for a real somber note there here for a second. Charleston Southern does play Upstate. Their next game on Friday, and very sad news coming out of Upstate today, where head coach Dave Dickerson, his wife Lorette, passed away. That very sad. So we are sending all our best wishes out and all our prayers out to the Upstate family there. Let's on that note though, let's go ahead and turn back to the games actually. And Stalika, the next game up was the High Point Hampton game. How about another overtime game there?
this kind of sad to say, this was actually probably the least memorable of the overtime games right here. It'll actually give Gigi Smith, son of Tubby Smith, at least one more win for this season right here. I don't know if he's going to be around next year or not, but at least they do have a chance to play spoiler against Winthrop tomorrow.
Yeah, Hampton made a nice comeback in the second half after they gave a big run in the first. I thought overtime when Deuce Dean, who we remember from earlier in the season from that great goal of the Hampton game winner, when he fouled out in overtime, that was kind of the end of it, though, I thought, for Hampton. Last but not least, Griggs, let me go back to you here for this Campbell Presbyterian game that just ended the short before we started. One overtime wasn't even enough for these two teams.
Yeah, double overtime. Campbell, a team I think coming into the year that we were kind of expecting to see more out of than what they gave us this year. And Presby, you know, while they were 11th, they had moments, especially in the out-of-conference, where it looked like they were going to make quite a bit of noise. And in watching this game today, both teams played pretty well, and you couldn't help but wonder where was more of this during the year. But, it seesawed back and forth. It looked like Presby had it won for a moment. Campbell hit a three to force overtime, one of the overtimes anyway, and then pulled away in the second overtime. But just another really good game.
Actually, it was a Milo Stojic hit the three to force the second overtime, yes.
And, yeah.
At the end of the second overtime. He won the game. It was Whitfield that hit the shot to force the second overtime. Milos, who had three three-pointers on the entire season heading into the game, Dorman.
Stole my thunder, Chad. I'm sorry. He had three threes all year, 17% on the season at the buzzer with 0.2 seconds left. He hits it. Campbell moves on to play Gardner Webb Friday night.
Wow. I'm surprised he hit even three.
That was it for today's action, but we got a lot coming up tomorrow. Let's kind of go through these in some order. First of all, we are returning to the A-Sun. Brian, it is quarterfinal day in the A-Sun. All four games on campus sites, all starting at the same time, which is a little annoying if you want to watch them all. But Lipscomb is at Liberty. Gulf Coast is at Bellarmine. Kennesaw is at Jacksonville State. And Central Arkansas is at Jacksonville tomorrow.
All I know is I'm very happy that, you know, we're in an era where now with ESPN Plus, we make sure that we get the home team on the right-hand side of the screen instead of on the left-hand side. So, you know, I'm interested to see how Bellarmine does. Yeah, they're still somewhat of a newbie to D1 in the last few years, just to see kind of how far they can go.
Yeah, still transitioning.
That's so. The game I'm kind of going to be really looking at is that Gulf Coast and Bellarmine game.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Griggs, the other game I'm going to be looking at is the Central Arkansas-Jacksonville game, just because of how exciting it was when Central Arkansas beat Stetson the other night. I kind of became a fan of them in that game, and so I want to see if they can't do it again this time on the road.
Yeah, the Dolphins, big finish, kind of a big year for them. Going on a late run, I don't think they're going to go to Jackson win, but that's definitely one to watch. I like this Jacksonville State team. I think they're going to pretty much roll over Kennesaw.
It is also quarterfinal day in the Horizon League. Dorman, Robert Morris is going to Cleveland State. Oakland is going to Wright State. Detroit Mercy is going to Northern Kentucky, and UIC is going to Fort Wayne.
Four games that could, in my opinion, I don't see Robert Morris pulling off this upset. No. I do see Cleveland State winning, but the other three are up for grabs. I really do.
I think Fort Wayne's going to right roll state. UIC, but
really, okay,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Griggs on this. I like the way this Fort Wayne team has been playing. They're red hot heading into the conference tournament here. I do like those middle two games, the Wright State Oakland and the Oakland at Wright State, Detroit at Northern Kentucky games would be really entertaining, though.
IUPUI is hosting this event, also hosting NCAA tournament games as the host school.
So starting with Monday's games, tomorrow is still on campus sites.
Yeah, starting with Monday's games. With only five players, they're certainly active in the event management department this year.
they've got one player assigned to each of the rounds that they're managing. Right. Stalika, it is also we're also back in action with quarterfinals on campus sites with a bunch more 7:00 p.m. There's going to be about 15 games, conference tournament games on 7:00 tomorrow night Eastern. But Patriot League, Bucknell is at Colgate. Army's at Lehigh, Americans at Navy, Loyola's at BU.
So in other words, we're going to have three games at ground level and one game on the roof right here.
Yes. Oh, is it on the roof?
They're always on the roof these days. Yep.
Yeah. Love the roof.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before, Navy being a team that you always wonder if they can hang on in the end. They've been kind of an entertaining team to watch. We keep wondering if Army's finally going to break through and make a run to, at the very least, the championship game, because I think they've been to a couple semifinals in the Patriot League, but nothing further.
Yeah. Brian, are you foreseeing any upsets in terms of the seeds tomorrow's games?
All I know is I would love to see somehow Army versus Navy for Patriot League championship.
Yeah.
That would be a really fun story if that could somehow happen.
Especially if you remember what happened last time they played when Navy had a huge lead and completely blew it. Navy's looking for a little revenge, I think.
Yeah.
We have three other conferences also in action that are all the first time we've taken a look at their tournaments. Start first of all the Sun Belt, where it is first round day. They'll be off Friday, but they do play the first round tomorrow. All these games happening in Pensacola, Florida. Louisiana against Texas Arlington, South Alabama against Little Rock, Georgia Southern against Coastal Carolina, Arkansas State against Louisiana Monroe. The first question, Griggs, is do you see any upsets in these four games? In terms of the seeds, at least.
Seed-wise, maybe Georgia Southern over Coastal, but not really. This South Alabama team is they're kind of schizophrenic. They don't always bring it, but when they do, they're actually as good as anybody in the league. It wouldn't shock me to see them go deep into this. You keep in mind, like they took Alabama to the wall earlier this year. And I think they're just going to roll Little Rock tomorrow. But that South Alabama-Troy game, assuming the chalk holds, that's a fun one.
Yeah, that, well, we could have a couple of rivalry games. We could have the Texas State-Texas Arlington game in the second round also.
Yeah.
We could have App State, Coastal Carolina. Dorman, let me start with you, or through each of you actually here. Who do you foresee winning this conference tournament? Because this was a chaotic conference all season long until Texas State pulled away the last 2 weeks.
Yes, it has been. I see the winner of the South Alabama-Troy game having a lot of great momentum, knocking off Texas State on Sunday in the semis and having enough power and going on to win this whole thing. So a little bit of an upset. But two teams that I actually thought were the class of the conference coming in that didn't play great throughout the entire conference season, lost some games they probably shouldn't have. But I'm going to pick a little upset. Winner of the South Alabama-Troy game to be the champion.
I was going to go with South Alabama.
Stalika. Griggs, you're going to South Alabama. Stalika, are you going where I think you're going?
We had a crazy tournament last year with App State ended up winning the whole thing. But this year, I think it could actually be Georgia State, who's been kind of lying in the weeds themselves. So we'll have to go through the defending champ and possibly Texas State in the championship. But even after Ron Hunter's left, they haven't really fallen off yet. So I would trust the Panthers to win this conference.
I'm with you on Georgia State. Brian, what about you?
I think the winner of the Georgia State Appalachian State game is going to end up winning that conference tournament. You know, there's always something to be said for when you play some of these teams once or twice during a season, you know, you got a lot of film to break down. In fact, that's one of the reasons why you see some of these conference tournament games being as close as they are, you know, as well as the fact that they're all, you know, do or die games for these teams.
Yeah. I think it's kind of funny. None of us went with the one seed to win this.
Yeah.
Let's jump over. It's also first round day in the Missouri Valley. We've got the 8-9 game between Illinois State and Indiana State and the 7-10 game between Valpo and Evansville. Brian, is there anything to even watch of these two games, or should we, because there's so many games on 7 o'clock, we should just tune in somewhere else?
Arch Madness. I always love Arch Madness. So, yeah, I'd like to see, you know, it'd be interesting to see if Indiana State can pull up. I don't know how much of an upset it would be over Illinois State. But, you know, as far as who's going to give, you know, Northern Iowa a better matchup, I don't know, maybe Indiana State give them a little bit more of a better matchup. And obviously, I think Valpo would probably be a much better matchup for Missouri State. So, you know, Arch Madness is always fun. You typically can see a team just come out of nowhere in this conference and, you know, some, you know, random team like Bradley or something like that could just go on a run and win this thing. I'd be like, oh, okay, that's the Missouri Valley for you.
Well, yeah. Hasn't Bradley won two of the last three or three of the last four or something? Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm picking Bradley to win this whole thing.
Are you?
Why not? Wow. Why not? Dorman, how about you? Who's going to win this?
I'm going to be a homer. I'm going to go with Loyola Chicago. Valentine gets the boys fired up. I think they realize they're really in serious trouble. And they anything short of the finals, I think they're done. And maybe even if they don't win the whole thing, they could be done. But I think Valentine gets the Chicago Ramblers going, rocking. It'll be a tremendous game in the semis if they can meet Northern Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Great game last weekend. Yeah. Went to overtime. It was fantastic. I'd love to see one more round Saturday afternoon.
All right, Stalika and Griggs, real quick, your picks also.
I'm going to go with sorry.
Stalika first.
I was going to say, I want to see how inspired Illinois State is going to be to at least try to close out Dan Mullen's coaching career here. My guess is they either get nothing, maybe two, depending on whether or not they catch Northern Iowa sleeping right here. But as far as my overall champ, I'm actually going to go with Drake here.
That's a good pick.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going with Northern Iowa. But I think that semifinal game, if the chalk holds, is going to be an absolute war.
Okay. Brian, how about you?
I would not be surprised to see, and I think I'm going to pick Missouri State to win it.
Yeah.
Just because I think that. Yep. I don't think as many people would expect it. And boom, there it would be.
None of us went with the one seed outright to win it. So we're doing.
I did.
Well, you said the winner of the game. So,
Well, no, I said Northern Iowa, but okay, I thought it would be a war. Okay. But yeah. But yeah, Missouri State is kind of underperformed this year, and they were really good down the stretch last year. It wouldn't shock me at all if they won this.
One more conference that's kicking things off. It is the monstrosity that we call the West Coast Conference Tournament. The 5,000 round ladder begins with the thrilling Loyola Marymount Pacific and San Diego Pepperdine 8-9 games late tomorrow night, with the winners moving on to BYU, Portland, San Francisco, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, not till next week we'll Gonzaga or St. Mary's play a game here.
You're right. Wow. There are ladders, and then there are extended ladders, and then there's the WCC tournament. Look at that stupid bracket.
I don't know if there's much to talk about with these two games tomorrow, but let's go through each of you real quick on the question of who's going to win this. And it may be a team that doesn't play until – probably going to be a team that doesn't play until Monday. Dorman, winner of the West Coast Conference.
Gonzaga.
Sleeka.
I'm going to go in a little bit of a different direction here. I'm going to go ahead and say St. Mary's finds a way to beat Gonzaga again.
Really? You think St. Mary's could beat them back two straight games? That's not going to be easy. Brian, what do you think?
You know, I would love to somehow see San Francisco pull the upset over Gonzaga. But, you know, it's just not going to happen. Gonzaga's going to break down at home. Gonzaga is going to come out of this time, and they're going to beat St. Mary's in rematch from previous game. I think that, you know, Gonzaga's just got too much talent. I think they're going to correct the mistakes they made from the first half of that previous game versus St. Mary's, especially on the neutral court in Vegas.
Yeah, I see Gonzaga winning it also. After they beat San Francisco in the semifinal, and after San Francisco beats the winner of the Loyola Marymount Pacific game, and BYU completely ends their season Friday night, Griggs, what do you think?
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
That is it for the conference tournament games for tomorrow. What else do we have to talk about here? Survival board.
Survival board, yes.
Let's get that on the screen. There it is. That was our survival board. There you are, Brian, again on the screen.
Yeah, there we go.
Heading into the day today, we had 327 teams left alive with a chance to win. This is our survival board. It's a tool we give for the selection committee. And we have teams in various different, marked in different ways here, correct?
Yeah. You know, we've got the locks, the teams under consideration, and the teams that need the auto bid. And then as this list grows and grows, the teams that have already lost, meaning that Brian has sported their jersey.
Right. So if you look at the screen, for example, Illinois, Iowa, Michigan State, if this committee is debating whether or not those teams should be in the tournament, the answer is?
Yes. Yes, they're locks.
Okay. If you're looking at a team like North Texas or UAB, should they be in? Should they be out?
Well, that's what they need to discuss.
Okay. Yeah. After looking at, should Illinois Chicago be in? UIC?
Not without the auto bid, no.
After wondering if Western Michigan should be in?
No, not without the auto bid, no.
Well, they're already eliminated.
They're already eliminated.
They can't even make the MAC tournament. All these conferences. So, for example, if they went down to the SEC, Greg, so they're trying to figure out who's going to be in.
Yeah, we've got, wow. That's a lot of... I think there's something
that's a
wrong
lot of
with
branch campuses for Carver Bible right there.
I don't know what's going on. Somebody keeps hacking our website or something.
I think there's something wrong with the website. We need to get that fixed. Like the committee might select them.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't be that bad of a thing. Anyhow, heading into today, there were 327 spots left. We did have 10 games. In addition, Lamar has been eliminated in the Western Athletic Conference as a result of today's results. They cannot make the WAC tournament. So 316 teams remain with a chance to win.
All right.
Missed the drum roll there. I apologize.
Lamar didn't deserve a drum roll.
No, they didn't. We're still over 300. We're not making a very good pace here, though. We got to get this down to 68 somehow. We only got to
wait till after tomorrow. All the 9 o'clock tomorrow after all the 27, 7 o'clock games.
Let's go over here, back over here, and check out our rivalry creator. Oh, you know
okay,
what?
Okay, yeah.
I actually had a live look at Griggs. You are in the puppet bunker still, correct?
Unfortunately, yes. When are you going to let me out?
Well, we actually, I know you've been complaining about it a lot.
Yes, well, because I'm locked in, you idiot.
I want to show everybody that's not that bad in there. I mean, this is a picture of your sleeping chamber. Look how nice that is.
Chad, there's nothing that I do here that necessitates being locked in a bunker.
I do, like, watch the games in there.
They're on the other side here where the picture's
What concerns me about this picture is I see, I guess, three potential ways for the puppet to escape here.
Door down the toilet. I don't know what the other two are, but
a hole in the roof.
Yeah. And the sink.
Yeah.
We have our Hoops HD rivalry creator here. And this is something, if you have two teams that you think should be a rivals,
yeah.
You like tweet at us and the computer will develop come one.
It'll come up with the name of the trophy.
For example, we know that Brown and Dartmouth, one of our favorites. Yes. Let's see what the rivalry is.
It's the we know this one, the Brown Mountain Cup. Name of the trophy.
Hey, what about Oral Roberts and Colgate?
The Oral Gate. Roberts,
the Oral Gate Cup. I don't know. That's a thing. We can also check in here. Brown Mouth Cup, by the way, they're 8 miles apart, and they've been in the NCAA tournament.
Never have.
Take Griggs, we actually saw Austin Peay's season come to an end tonight. Brian tweeted them out and everything. We had the Brown Mouth Cup, but what would happen if, was asked, what would happen if we wanted to develop a rivalry between, say, Austin Peay and Dartmouth? Different conferences, but they could be a rivals, right?
Oh, the possibilities here are endless.
Oh no! that's inappropriate. Okay, we gotta reprogram this computer. That's completely inappropriate.
What would that trophy look like?
I think that's suitable for video.
Yeah.
let's go to final thoughts here from each of you. Dorman, let me let you start things off.
Okay. Enough of the basketball. Yeah, thank you. Brian, it's great to see you. We've talked about basketball enough. Brian, it's great to see you. And if you don't know Brian's story, you need to look into it and find out what it's all about. Because Brian, you inspire me and thousands of people every day across this country, across this world. Not only that, he raises thousands and thousands of dollars for epilepsy. Brian, you are an inspiration to me and so many others. I love being with you on this show.
I love having
you. Winner. Go ahead.
Right, Brian. After the pee mouth cup.
Go ahead, Brian. Sorry.
I say I love the camaraderie between all of y'all. It's been so great. And I wouldn't have been able to reach as many people without y'all's help. So that's the thing is, yeah, so many people do pay attention. More and more people do pay attention to the show, and so as a result, I've been able to reach more and more people. And so I can't thank you guys enough for helping me spread this message of positivity. Because so many of these schools, have hospitals and students that are just so integral to neuroscience. And so, I'm grateful to be alive because of them. So thank you guys so much for helping me be happy about the guys that rep these wonderful students.
Absolutely. You can check out, we have a tab up there for you, 358 Jerseys for Hope, right on the website. You can check out.
I'm going to have to change that soon. I think to 361, though.
Yep. For next season, yep. And we also have, of course, we have the other tabs up there, the conference tournaments, the survival board. Sleek, any other final thoughts from you?
I'm going to be looking at two different players for some of the games that are going to be going on tomorrow night. One is going to be Hassan Abdullah for Lipscomb. Could he help the Bisons pull an upset at Liberty? And then number two, you're going to have Antoine Davis, the son of Mike Davis over at Detroit Mercy. They'll certainly have their shot at Northern Kentucky, but can a one-man show win in a conference tournament setting like this? We'll find out in about 24 hours.
We will. Greg, do you want to finish us off?
Yeah, it's just I know that a lot of the teams that play in these opening rounds of the under the radar conferences probably aren't Final Four contenders and aren't going to go to the end, but it was still hugely compelling basketball today in all the conference. But look at what happened in the Big South today and how exciting that was, because they really are playing for their season. They might not go to the NCAA tournament and probably won't go very far in it if they do get there, but they're still playing to continue their season for another day. And whenever you get that knockout format, it's just great. I mean, we watched four teams or four games that featured eight teams where most of them had losing records, and we were riveted.
Yes. Yeah, that was, and you see it here. You see, yeah, when teams may build an 8 to 10 point lead in the first half, their opponents are not giving up because these kids know this is their last chance.
And yeah,
a lot of times you're seeing comebacks of these games that you don't see during the regular season.
Also right. Interesting, if there's any of these coaches that may be potentially on the hot seat, if they make a big conference tournament run and somehow make the NCAA tournament when they would have been on the otherwise possibly on the chopping block, you know, like that's huge. That's an extension for them. So. Yeah.
Are you listening, Tom Crean? Yes. On that note, I do want to thank
you. Also Dan Mullen and Illinois State. What would happen if they had won their conference tournaments?
On that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. On behalf of David Griggs and David Dorman up here, John Salica, Brian Black, 358 Jerseys for Hope, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again tomorrow night.